This morning we're going to do something different. We're going to start Luke chapter 2 next week. We're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And as I was studying, the Lord, sometimes I think, Lord, is it me or is it you? You know, and that's where faith has to come in. And you just got to believe and trust God that this is what he wants to do. But when you're studying, I love the fact that when I'm going through studying and I think, okay, this is what I'm going through and learn teaching and preparing. And then all of a sudden God changes things up. When I have to say, okay, God, is this me or is this you? He keeps adding to that and shows me that it's him. And then I become like encouraged by that. And I'm, all right, okay, I know this is you, Lord. And so he specifically put it on my heart and spoke to me about how we're going to present communion this morning, because I don't want it to be a routine. And sometimes it can be that. I want to share a story with you, and I know I shared this before. It's a story about a wife and her cooking roast. And so I want to share this with you because it kind of ministered to me as far as communion. But it goes like this. A story is told about a wife cooking a roast. And she cut off the ends of the roast, and she put it in the pan, and then she put it in the oven. The husband asked her, "Why do you cut off the ends?" And she replied, "Because my mom always did." The next day, the wife talked to her mom and asked, "Mom, why do you cut off the ends of the roast before putting it in the oven?" Her mom replied, "Because my mom always did." And so the both of them went to grandma and asked the same question. "Grandma, why do you cut off the ends of the roast? Why do you cut them off before you cook it?" And grandma replied, "So it would fit into the pan." Now, the reason why I share that with you is because many times, you know, we do things without knowing why we do them, right? We do them because we always have done them that way, or some of us never take the time to find out why we do them. We just go through the motions and do the things that we don't even know why we do them. We just do them. It's like routine. And sometimes we can get caught up in routine within our walk with God. And it becomes, I think when you get caught up in routine, then it starts to become religion instead of relationship. And then it doesn't, it's like when you're given something, often we, reason why we say, hey, you know, it costs this much, it's because when you're giving something free, the value of it is not as big as, or your concern of it as much as when you pay for something. Then you have to, you know, you're forced and you have to and you want to take care of it. Well, sometimes we can get caught up at that within our relationship with the Lord. And many of us sometimes do things, again, without knowing why we do them. But we just do them because it's always done that way. And some of us never just take the time to find that out or why. And so just like communion, guys, we do communion the first week of every month. We come here and we partake of the Lord's Supper, and it's done because it's sometimes, again, we do it because it's just the first week of the month, and it becomes routine. And because we do it, we find ourselves being content, or we find ourselves comfortable with just going with the flow of things. And, you know, and I'm one to say that I don't like to go with the flow of things. I'm always saying, you know what, you have to be creative in your walk with God. You have to be, don't get caught up in the same routine. It's kind of, because when you do that, like communion, we can become like the military. You know, they say, don't ask and don't tell concept. You know, I'm fine and I don't need to know. Let's just do our thing and let's continue on. But taking communion is more than just going with the flow of things, guys. God desires each one of us to follow after him and comprehend them. In fact, Paul tells us that in Ephesians chapter 3. Listen to what he says. He says, first of all, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I love this part of passage. I love the story about the little girl who went to the pastor, or actually she went to Jesus, because Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this little girl went up to him and said, Lord, how much do you love me? And he said, this much. And he held his hands out and he died for her. See, that's how much God loves us. He wants us to understand and comprehend what is his love. What is his love for us? The depth, the height, the width, the length. The Lord desires us to follow him boldly, boldly, not cowardly, boldly, with all understanding, not blindly. He doesn't want us to walk around with blind faith, not knowing what his will is for us, but that our faith would be made stronger in the presence of our Savior. I love that song that says that. I got that from a song, that portion where it says, Lord, let our faith be made stronger in the presence of our Savior. That's what he wants us to have. He wants us to be fully understanding, or to have that full understanding of the spiritual things. And as a believer, it's so crucial, guys, that we grasp God's eternal plan and his preciousness and his glorious salvation. To understand God's will in our lives. And that one thing is so important as a believer is that we understand that we've all been covered by his salvation. You know, the question's always asked, you know, about our salvation. Am I saved? You ask somebody today, even Christian, to say, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? And the answers are often, I hope so. I want to. I don't know. I don't think so. Or I know so. Those are the answers. This is coming from the body of Christ. But salvation, it's a precious gift from God. God did it all. And I thank Jesus that he did it and that we don't have to do it. Because it's a free. All we have to do by faith is receive it and walk with him. And we're talking about, through salvation, we're talking about God giving us the greatest blessings of all. You know, the blessing of the knowledge and the power of God himself, the mercy and the grace of God, the reconciliation and the peace that comes through Jesus Christ. He wants us to understand the church itself and who we are and what it is. And the fellowship of the saints, how important that is. If you look around the church today, you'll see that many are missing. Many. And many determine their worship of God on what they do on Saturday night. Don't ever allow anything to determine your worship of God. Always put God first. We are required to fellowship. We are required to come to church and to get involved, because it tells us not. Paul said, don't neglect the fellowship of the saints. You are who you hang around with. And you hang around with God, you're going to be like God. You hang around with the world, the things of God are going to slowly dim away. And sooner or later, you'll find yourself where the things that you hold the most highest and that you really believed in about God are finally, they're not there anymore. And then you got to labor into the rest, Jesus says. Sometimes we got to do that. But God has done so much for us as believers, you know, that it can't be measured. You can't measure how much God has done for us. Therefore, we need to pray. We need to seek God so that we can increase in the understanding of him in the body of Christ. Understanding all the saints and, you know, living with one another and being in unity with one another. Having all things in common, like Ephesians chapter 4 said, that we have all the things in common. One God, one Spirit, one Lord over all. We're not here to be divided. It's the church of God. Okay, it's not the church of this denomination or that. It's the church of God. We all should be worshiping the Lord and serving him and reading his word and teaching the word of God within the body of Christ. Because we're going to do it in eternity. You know, when we get to heaven, don't be looking for a sign that says Calvary Chapel. Don't be looking for a sign that says, Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship sits here. Don't look for these signs. They ain't going to be there. is going to be one humongous long table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you will find your seat there. It'll say, okay, Theophilus, sit here. And under in parentheses, it'll say, Pastor Steve. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. God's going to change it. I hope he does. It'll be so awesome. Carmen's husband sits here. And so it's going to be one big, glorious fellowship. You know, and so that's what God wants. He wants us to fully understand this, the spiritual things. It's crucial that we grasp God's eternal plan. It's so important. We're talking about those great blessings. And he's done so much for us. You know, you can't even measure it. Therefore, we have to seek him. We have to understand. Now, nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that how often we should take communion. Only that we do need to take it. And we are reminded that when we take it, we're to remember what Jesus did at the cross. When you take communion, that's what's so important. Is you got to remember, what did Jesus do for us at the cross? And I always think about it. When everybody lines up, they come down, they take communion, how many of us are partaking in the way that our Lord commanded us to partake in his taking his supper? How many do we really know? Well, he gives us the answer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read that real fast. And God has changed us up. We're going to do something different here. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want you to turn look at verse 24. Because he gives us instructions for taking communion. And Paul, he goes on, he tells us this. Verse 23. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he gave thanks. And he broke and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Let a woman examine himself. Let the Christian examine themselves. And so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So the passage here of Scripture, it gives us the actual instructions that we need to how we need to be when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Guys, it's so important that we understand the significance of what we're doing here. And that we don't, it's not going to be the same, okay, I'm going to cut the edge of the meatloaf and put it in the pan because this person did or this person did it, and find out later the reason only why, so it fit in the pan. No significance. But what is the significance? And it is that the bread which he broke in half, it represents his body which was broken on the cross for us. Think about all that he did for us. And the cup, it represents the blood that he shed on our behalf. The love that he did on the cross when he died on the cross. Jesus, you know what? He sealed that relationship between us and him. That was it. No more needed to be done. When he died on the cross, and when he told that, I think of that thief on the cross when he said, hey, you know, he looked at Jesus and said, hey, remember me, Jesus, when you enter your kingdom. When he died on the cross, he said to him, today you shall be in paradise. He sealed redemption. He sealed salvation for us. Nobody needs to add to that. Nobody can add to that. Nobody can say, okay, I'm gonna revise it. Too many people are trying to revise that. He did it all at the cross for us so that we wouldn't have to. You know, he didn't deserve it. It's like that. He said, hey, we deserve this. He didn't deserve it. We deserve to be on that cross. But we have God's grace. He gives us what we need and not what we deserve. And each time we partake in communion, we are not only remembering what he did for us on the cross, guys, but we are showing it as well. All those who are sitting and watching and those who are participating, we are acknowledging that what took place on the cross. When you come down here, you're acknowledging it in your own life, in your own faith. And not only was it very powerful, but it was needed. Now, when you think about how graphic it was, what Jesus went through on the cross, and again, if you saw the movie, The Passion of Christ, that don't even compare to the actual event. But I'll say it does come close than all the other movies, how graphic it is. Everyone who's here is showing what it means. When you come down, you take communion, you're actually showing what communion means. It's how, and you're showing how it impacted your life as a believer. How the cross changed me. I ain't the same no more because of what Jesus did at the cross. Now I can freely say, Lord, I am forgiven. I can say, Lord, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for dying for me and this wretched man that I am. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. And I'm expressing that when I'm coming down. Communion, it gives each and every one of us a closer, a more humbling, loving opportunity to renew our focus on Jesus. And every time we partake, it's like God gives us a second chance. We come down here, and the reason why he's the God of second chances, people say, yeah, but there's a third chance. There is no third chance. There's no third chance. The second chance is when you ask God to forgive you the first time, there is nothing there. So how can you get to the third chance? When you commit sin, you go to the Lord and you say, forgive me. He says, I'm giving you another chance. That's the second chance. You don't need a third chance. A third chance would be, Lord, I am sorry that I got caught. If I didn't get caught, I would continue to do it. Then, you know, you're going to go beyond that. The second chance is that the minute you confess Christ and ask forgiveness, he says you're forgiven. You got another chance. And thank the Lord that we're going to be forgiven for the rest of our life here. That we can come to the Lord and he'll forgive us no matter what, as long as we repent. You know, when I think of communion, it just brings me more closer to the Lord. No matter how often we take communion, we should partake in what? Reverence, worship of God, in the love of Christ, in this deep sense of gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that he saved me. So thankful. And Paul tells us that we should not take communion in an unworthy manner, but we need to take it in a worthy manner. But what does it mean to partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? You know, when Paul wrote this portion of Scripture, he was speaking to believers. He was speaking to the Corinthian church. And at that time, the church was messed up. Much like today, guys, there's nothing new under the sun. They were caught up in division. They were caught up in heresy and sexual immorality, self-deception, drunkenness. They neglected the poor. They were careless about protecting the sanctity of the church. They were being careless in partaking the Lord's Supper. And all this was an indication of having sin in one's heart. And practicing, not just we're sinners, obviously. You know, I'm a sinner. Guys, I ain't perfect. I sinned coming here in thought. Coming down the freeway. Beep, beep, beep. Get out of the way. You know. We are naturals when it comes to sin, but we can honestly say we don't practice sin. God can keep us from practicing that sin. Enjoying it, making it our lifestyle. Making it something that we look forward to doing. Before I was a Christian in high school, I couldn't wait to get out of school because the minute we got out of school, I always looked forward to causing havoc. And we would gather together and Fernando and us guys, Andy, you know, guys, we looked forward to causing havoc. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah, he used to steal my lunch money. And but then when I got saved, that all changed. It all changed. I wasn't practicing that anymore. I had the struggles in early years, but God's Holy Spirit changed me from the inside out. So when Jesus came into my life, you know, I can now count being worthy unto Him. And it's simple. Why? By having our worthiness in Jesus Christ. And that's only going to come when we're living a life of consistent confession, consistent repentance to Him, when we are consistent in our praise and worship, in His mercy, His grace, and allowing Him to work in our lives, and when we see Him working, how important it is to join Him. You know, Isaiah 64:6 says this, that our righteousness is as filthy rags. You want to be a Christian in your own righteousness? Well, people are going to look at that and say, that's just filthy rags. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, Paul said this, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. And who is that? What is it that's revealed? Jesus Christ, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. To all. We want to be in the righteousness of Christ. And now that I accepted Jesus in my life, I am righteous before God. Because Jesus is standing in the gap. And when God looks at me, Jesus is just like this. Like this. And I'm behind there going, and God says, very well. Very good. Because He's standing in the gap. So the only right thing we can do is live and walk in constant fellowship with Jesus. Constant fellowship means, guys, it means actively. Are you actively in fellowship? Are you actively meditating? Are you actively talking with Him through confession, through repentance, through praise, through prayer, thanksgiving? How much are you actively involved with the Lord? So what we're going to do this morning is, as we prepare our hearts for communion, and I'm always saying, you know, sit there and prepare your heart, but I'm going to have the pastor and the elders to come up right now, those of you who are here. And if God has spoken you to this morning, if you know in your life that you're not actively involved in your relationship with the Lord, you're not actively confessing and repenting before the Lord, if you find yourself struggling, we're going to ask you to come up here so that we can pray for you. And then we're going to all go, you know, you'll go back to your seats and then we will partake in communion. But this is an opportunity for you to make things right with the Lord. That it won't be a routine. I'm just going to get in line, take it, and sit down and go my way. But that you would actively come before your God, before your Savior, and get your life right with the Lord. Get your heart right. That you wouldn't be like the Corinthian church, walking around in constant sin in your life because you're actively involved with that sin. So as we continue to worship, go ahead, come on down, pastor and elder. I think we only have two of us here, three of us. And if God has spoken to you and there's something that you need prayer for before we take communion, you need to make sure that you're not taking in an unworthy manner, but that you would be worthy through Jesus Christ. Come down here and let's pray for you. It's just you and God, that's all. And we're going to pray for you and ask God to prepare your heart for communion. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, then you prepare your heart in the seats. But this is an opportunity for you to come before the altar of God, actively showing everybody else that, you know what, my life in Christ is more important than worrying about what others think or what others might say or what others might be looking at. Don't matter. So just come on down and let God, we pray that God will bless you, and then you take communion. We'll take communion. So let's worship the Lord.